7,000 Paris police officers are bracing themselves ahead of heavy protests across the city today. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vishala Sripathma, filling in for Anu Anand. Good morning, lots to get through. It's May Day, International Workers' Day, a day for marches, a day when Paris is bracing itself for violence. Today, we'll see several groups coming together, not just the usual Gilets Jaunes or Yellow Vest protesters, but other opposition parties as well, including the far left, the so-called Radical Black Bloc group. So what has President Macron done to try and address their concerns? The BBC's Lucy Williamson is in Paris.
He's tried to address the underlying anger of the Gilets Jaunes protests. They've been very persistent. They've been almost 6 months now every Saturday out on the streets. So he's given tax cuts. There were 10 billion euros of concessions he gave earlier, this huge debate to show he was listening. And yes, his approval ratings have rebounded a bit, but they're still half what they were when he came into office. And I think what he's facing is the fact that France is still very divided over his economic reforms. And while Mr. Macron's core support is still loyal, that's only about a quarter of the population if you go by the first round of the presidential elections. So if you look at the EU elections coming up, it's about the same. And I think what he's done is he's managed to retain that core support, but he hasn't really managed to win over many other groups.
That was Lucy Williamson in Paris. Let's do the numbers. Holidays in much of Asia and Europe mean most markets are closed. Traders are also preparing for an update from the US Central Bank tonight on whether interest rates are heading upwards or downwards. Venezuela's President Nicolas Maduro gave a defiant televised address last night.
We have been confronting different kinds of aggression, different kinds of coup, as never before seen in the history of Venezuela. It's driven by the evil obsession of the ultra-right opposition, by the Colombian oligarchy, and by US imperialism.
Yesterday saw thousands of protesters in violent clashes with government forces. Mr. Guaido has appealed to his supporters to take to the streets again today. Rafael Ramirez is the former Venezuelan Minister of Energy. He said Mr. Maduro's time in power is running out.
Maduro has been able to still in power using the full support of the army. The people are exhausting for the economical situation. Then, well, that is true, Maduro is able to still in power, but the people of Venezuela are suffering. And Maduro destroyed the country. It's the worst government in our history.
Rafael Ramirez. To Iran now, where the economy is in the throes of a deep recession, largely thanks to Donald Trump's sanctions. Now, it may seem like it couldn't get worse for the Islamic Republic, but further measures announced last week will see US sanctions imposed on some of Iran's biggest oil customers. Countries like Iran, India, Japan and China, unless they stop buying Iranian oil today. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani repeated that Tehran will continue to sell oil regardless. Ami Daniel is the co-founder of Windward, a maritime intelligence company which tracks the movements of ships and cargo across the world. He explained to me how Iran and its customers could dodge these sanctions.
One is called dark activity, which is when vessels intentionally turn off their voluntary transmissions, which they are mandated to transmit. The second is called ship-to-ship transfers. So in order to evade sanctions, they don't come into ports. Instead, they transfer the cargo at sea. And the third is called identity tampering, where in essence, they forge their digital identity. We've been building algorithms for the last several years to identify specifically these activities and to use artificial intelligence to say which vessels are clear to go, i.e. have not been busting sanctions, and which vessels have been doing that. So if you look at oil exports, so there's about 2,750 crude oil tankers in the world. And if you look at those trading in the last month in the Persian Gulf, you would see about 500 of them transporting in and out. But if you would look very naively at the recent U.S. government sanctions, let's call it guidelines, and just looking for the places where you could see vessels are disappearing because you don't see their signal, that's a very, very big number. That big number is almost 50% of these vessels. But if you use AI and modeling to see just who intentionally turned off transmissions, that's just 6%.
So Iran could still export oil, but how much of it? Sara Bakshouri is president of SVP Energy International in Washington.
We are still expecting that Iran would export this way about 150 to 200,000 barrels per day, which is significantly low in compared to 2.6 or 2.7 million barrels, which was exporting back in May 2018. This also is costly. They have to pay lots of middlemen. So the income of these 200,000 barrels would not be just the official oil price. We might also see some random shipments to China or India, and this would be part of the debts that Iran has to pay back by oil to these countries, and these countries might get some sort of permission. Iranian oil exports might not reach to an actual zero, but it's going to be very close to zero.
That was Sara Vakshouri. Ending this edition in London, I'm Vishala Sripathma with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.